afternoon. Today is Wednesday, August 27th, 239th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Public Works Director, Airplane Guy. So you're not in charge of the bailiffs, Tom Mattson. How you been?
Pretty good, pretty good.
I keep hearing your name every once in a while, so I figure you're still showing up for work.
Every day.
Yeah.
And twice on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, you have that scheduled too.
Yeah. Okay. Saturday's the get her done day.
Yes. This afternoon we'll talk a little bit about some of the drought things that are going into effect or will be going into effect. It is certainly something that's of discussion in the area, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Also get an update on the road situation and some of the activities that Public Works is doing now. Airplanes, all that kind of fun stuff and more when we come back.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Tom Mattson. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Boy, there's all kinds of weird, goofy quotes here. I think I'm going to just flip. Okay, there we go. Scott Osler, it's baseball. You talked about the A's, okay. George Steinbrenner, you can tell how old this is. George Steinbrenner is the salt of the earth. And the Yankee players are open wounds. Oh, boy. See,
I guess that's what happens when you try to buy championships.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't typically root for the Yankees.
No.
But I am this year because of Jeter. I mean, everything he's doing has just kind of been with a little bit of class. And even this year, you know, he's a little...
Special players that transcend...
Yeah,
loyalties and teams, they're just...
And he's handling a lot of this stuff by going, you didn't have to.
Yep.
And I thought that's, you know, a lot of the guys would be sucking this up. And he's just, you know, he's I think, unless he's a good actor, genuinely stunned by the reaction.
Yeah.
And the other thing I didn't know is, and then we'll get on to the show, is that the only one-digit number that the Yankees have that hasn't been retired yet is number two.
Ooh.
So I think that'll go away really
exactly.
Quickly. Yeah.
Yep. That'll be done.
Okay. On to fun things like the drought. What's it been doing to the way that you have been assigning the crews when they're out on the roads? Have you had to change any of the procedures or the protocols to make sure that either you're on the lookout for or you're not causing fires and
right? Well, we shut down our mowing operations inland early this year. Because if we don't have a water truck following our mower inland, that can start a fire in a real quick. And with all the fires going on, we certainly don't want to divert CAL FIRE from more important needs. Really, that's it. We do a lot of our grading in the spring and the fall when we need water with the rains. We wait for the rains, hope for the rains, pray for the rains. And then we hope that they come in a good way and not all at once or just a little bit.
Now, what do you wait? When you're grading the roads, is it to make sure that the culverts are working when you're doing it, or the areas that need the attention?
Yeah, the gravel roads, you need water to grade the roads, and a significant amount of water. About a half an inch of rain is what we look for, and that
just so the rock doesn't fly all over.
So it packs correctly, doesn't fly all over. You don't create a lot of dust. So it's an absolute necessity.
Unless you got a really big old truck.
Unless you've got lots of water trucks and water supplies. And we have a few water supplies we've been working on with putting tanks out in some of our remote areas, hopefully to collect water and when it's there, so we have it in the summer when we need it.
I was wondering if you guys have any collection tanks, and then I've never figured out how they work anyway.
Well, generally, we have a couple out on Kings Peak Road where we worked with BLM years ago, and we'll collect, say, spring water in the winter. We'll be flowing heavily. We'll run it and fill the tank, and then just
like run a hose into the creek?
Yeah, it's just like your household tank. You're filling up your water supply and then cap it off when it's full, and then use it when you need it in the summer.
But you don't do that now?
We only have a couple
participating with your water.
Yeah, we only have a couple of them right now. We're looking at different spots throughout the county where we can possibly try to do this to help our road crews out.
Out in the boonies,
or
where you're doing the projects?
Out in the boonies, basically, where our gravel roads are that we have to grade every year.
Is that a regular? It sounds weird that it would be a maintenance program, but I guess it would be a maintenance program.
Yeah, grading the gravel roads is maintenance, regular maintenance.
Do you throw any oil down?
No.
That may be taboo now.
No, that was many, many, many years ago.
I see, okay.
We actually have different techniques now where we can use permazymes that are natural organic products that hold the road together.
Permazymes.
Permazines.
Okay.
So they're natural,
kind of like oil,
non-toxic. It works better than oil in some places.
Oh, really? So it'll lock everything down?
It locks everything down. There's no contamination, no toxics. It's natural biodegradable materials.
So if it's natural and biodegradable, that means that you have to come back a little bit more regularly, doesn't it? Or does this last longer than what the other did?
It depends. If you, say, chip seal over the road, it will last for a very long time. But generally, within a year or two, it will break down if you're just using it on a gravel road. But it certainly helps keep the shape of the road and stop the washboarding and all the other problems that we have with our gravel roads.
That's what I was wondering, if you then come back every couple of years just on a regular maintenance schedule, since you don't have a lot of the asphalt lying around.
No, you know, where we've had real success with it is using old asphalt grindings from, say, Caltrans state projects, and then laying down the permazime in our gravel and getting the road ready, and then capping it over with asphalt grindings, and it holds up for a very, very long time.
How tight do they grind that stuff? Is it down to?
Oh, quarter inch, half inch. I mean, we do very small grindings, yeah. Just like reclaiming your road. You're recycling your road.
But it's kind of like the pea gravel size.
Yeah, then it's right back to gravel.
And it lasts just as long as the rock?
Oh, yeah. It is rock.
Okay, fine. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Tom Mattson. Tom's in charge of Humboldt County Public Works, which has definitions beyond just public work area. But that's what we're talking about now. What is the general condition of the roads? I know we hear about it during the budget process, and X number going back to gravel and blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. But we've got so many truly rural areas in Humboldt County that I think if we were a brand new county, probably would only justify having a gravel road, because there's not that much activity going on out there. If you step back from what was and look at what is, what's the state of the roads that are underneath your scope, your sphere of influence?
Mostly poor to fair, with some very, very good roads.
That would be the U.S. Forest Service roads, right? The very good?
No, the very good.
It's amazing to me how great those roads always look out there, freshly paved and everything.
You must be talking about a different Forest Service.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was a couple years ago. I'll say that.
Yeah. Okay. you know, road funding goes in cycles. We had some very, very good years with lots of capital projects, and the American Recovery Act funding put a lot of money into our roads. But those primarily go to our main roads, Airport Road in McKinleyville, Old Arcata Road.
The heavy traffic roads.
And you'll notice that those are usually in pretty decent condition for the county. Then you get out into our rural areas where we don't really have a lot of resources and there's very low traffic, and it's hard to find the big money that's necessary to work on those roads. And they're in poor condition. Back and forth from gravel to pavement to chip seal. And
are there states, Tom, that are as rural as what our end of the state is? I mean, the Midwest states and stuff, that they've got challenges with the weather like we do, and lack of density like we do. Are they able to fund their roads, or do they just have a higher percentage of either gravel or dirt?
Well, every state is different. Say Wisconsin, the counties actually maintain all the state highways. In Vermont, the state maintains all the roads. States like Iowa, the counties don't do any of the high traffic roads, what were once considered federal aid roads. That would be like our Old Arcata Road. They only do, and most of them only have gravel roads. So there's every kind of mix you can imagine across the United States.
Let me say it differently then. Do we have a expectation that isn't proper for the roads in Humboldt County?
You know, we have the best roads that we have with the funds available that we have. I was on a recent court case, and one of the jurors got thrown off because his answer to one of the original questions was, you know, well, they're Humboldt County roads. They're what we have. They're what we can afford.
That got somebody kicked?
That got somebody kicked off the jury, yes.
Really? His name wasn't... His initials weren't TM?
No.
Okay.
No. There's a lot of realization from the public, and especially those in the rural areas, of what we can do. And there's a lot of help out there. We get a lot of cooperative people providing us water sources when we need to grade, people ponying up funds out of their own pockets to improve their roads, because they know we just don't have the resources to spend a lot of money on a road that, you know, serves under 100 vehicles a day.
Would it make sense, and things certainly have changed, you know, Bell Springs Road was one of those that was kind of a backdoor in case we need it kind of road.
That is actually a very important backdoor.
Would it make sense to have that paved? I mean, if you had the opportunity and you had whatever the amount is, because that is used so regularly as a secondary but still a primary artery, to have something like that asphalted?
Well, you're asking me every road should be paved, because there's lots of environmental issues with just gravel roads. But that road, yes. In fact, it has always been a priority road for Humboldt County. It's got a hard surface almost to the county line at this point. I think there's about a mile left. Mendocino County, it was not a primary road until a couple of years ago, and we worked with Mendocino County and Humboldt County worked together to get the category of that road improved. That's just the title, but it entitles it to different funding sources. It's on both counties' minds as a very important road. It's important for Mendocino County that the traffic remains open from Humboldt to Mendocino, and it's important for us.
So how do you get those various designations? Is it by use or is it by design?
It's not just by use and by design, but it's by what it connects to. And that road connects from 101 to 101. So it serves as a detour for Highway 101 when it's necessary. Our main rural routes, they connect state highway to state highway. You got Alder Point Road that connects Highway 36 to Highway 101. You know, Matole Road connects, you know, Highway 211 to Highway 101.
The same argument for Highway 36, period.
You can, but there's a lot of interest, and there's actually a big project coming through on the one lane section to improve that to two lanes through Caltrans.
And we'll talk about that when we come back.
Federal highways.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 335. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tom Mattson. Tom is the Public Works Director for the County of Humboldt. Before the break, Tom, you indicated that there's a big project. You said Caltrans, two-lane to one-lane. Doesn't sound like it's involving Richardson's Grove.
No.
Darn. Okay. What are you talking about?
There's a program that used to be called the Public Lands Highways and now is called the Federal Lands Access Program. And it's for roads that access national forests, national parks, federal facilities, Indian reservations. Well, Caltrans applied for funding through that program to widen out Highway 36 on the one-lane section to make it two lanes. And they were awarded the funding to move forward with that project.
Holy cow.
So now they're moving forward with the environmental, going to have public meetings, et cetera. But it's,
Let me ask you as a road guy then. What's going to happen first? Richardson's Grove widening or 36 widening or 199 widening?
You got me in a conundrum there.
Or paving Bell Spring Road as a two-lane all the way through Humboldt County. I'll put that one on there, too.
The other three will happen before that.
By just a little bit.
Oh, depends what you define little bit by.
Not like, geologic time.
Yes, geologic time.
Oh, boy. Does the situation with Richardson's Grove, does it get you going at all? I mean, it's been... I guess the novelty of it is gone. The frustration is there for some of us, but it's gone back burner again.
Projects can be very, very difficult. It's with CEQA and NEPA, it's sometimes difficult to navigate through the process, and there's lots of places to shut down projects in. There's some valid arguments on both sides. I think it's a safety issue. When I go through there, there's bicycle riders that are in the middle of the road with semi-trucks fully loaded with logs.
A cement truck. There's a lot of wide rigs coming through.
And frankly, I think the Caltrans did a pretty good look at it, and they'll just have to keep refining it until they get a project that they can move forward.
It's interesting. What do you think about Willits and the bypass that's going on? I'm sure you look at it differently than what we do. Say, oh, is it done yet? Yeah, I mean, you're seeing things that we don't see when you go by.
Well, I sat there for an hour 2 weeks ago, parked on the edge of town, trying to wait for construction, and that's a huge, huge project, and it's actually a big opportunity for the community to have a really nice downtown area. If you look like what happened when they bypassed Cloverdale, there was a lot of angst against it, but now you go into the town, it is a beautiful downtown that's calm without all the highway traffic. It's basically a new community.
Are you impressed with the magnitude, the speed of this thing being done, how it's being? Yeah, I mean, you're the expert here.
This is one that you look at how fast they move forward with it, and the funding, and then the project. Sometimes these things can take 10-15 years, and that one was on the books a long time, but once the funding came and they started construction, there's a lot of good contractors that know what they're doing, and they know how to build things, and they're moving.
You recognize the names on the side of the trucks too. Yeah, it's just kind of cool to see that actually coming to fruition.
Yeah, I love construction. I mean, I'm in the perfect world. I grew up with Tonka toys. Now I'm in control of big Tonka toys. And, what more could a little boy want?
If somebody had said, Tom, you're going to be dealing with a budget, and it's not going to be everything that you want, but you have total flexibility on how to apply those dollars, Let's just keep it in the public works arena. We don't have to get into some of the others, or just the roads division. How much flexibility would that give you? What would we see as different if the state just said, or the feds, you know, even with the grant, the silo funding and all that, just said, here it is. Do the project.
If I had all the flexibility, I would actually not be doing as many projects as I would be doing. I would be putting that money into preventative maintenance. It costs a whole lot of money to do an asphalt overlay, whereas, you know, a microsurfacing or chip seals are much more cost effective for keeping our roads maintained. But it's unfortunate the way the funding's set up is, you know, you get a project multi-million dollars for one road, whereas if you took that money and put it into preventative maintenance across the entire system, you would keep your system together and in better shape overall, instead of the dichotomy we have where we have, you know, nice new beautiful roads and then a road that's, you know, you can travel maybe 15 miles an hour on for 20 or 30 minutes before you have to go to the auto shop and have your shocks fixed.
I would think that your interpretation of that situation is not unique in the region, not unique in the state, not unique in the country. So why do we not have the funders embracing that kind of approach? Because it would seem to me like it's better for the community, it's better for the special interest for that one road that you were referencing or that one area. Why not allow multiples, particularly as the infrastructure is aging as it has been?
Well, there's movement in that direction. In fact, even Jerry Brown came out some time ago and said, we need to move to a fix-it-first system. Instead of building new things, we need to fix and maintain what we have. The recent federal highway bill moved in that direction, more towards maintaining our existing system and putting funding to that, instead of putting funding to all kinds of new projects. Yeah, the new projects, they're necessary. They're needed. But I'm not going to put an addition onto my house until I fix the roof on my existing house.
Yeah, it's not an exchange. It should be a compliment, too, I would think.
Exactly.
Huh. And that still seems to be rather novel conceptually at the funding level.
You know, it's not novel for those that have to maintain systems. It is novel for some people in Washington, D.C.
Enough said. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Tom Mattson.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tom Mattson. Tom, we were driving, what was Old Arcata? Oh, early Monday, we're coming down from Neyland. Boy, it's always exciting to cross a road that's kind of halfway skinny with a loaded logging truck coming the other way.
Yeah.
If you're driving something more than one of the blowover cars. Yeah, we were both wondering if the rearview mirror would survive the exchange.
It can be tight.
Yeah. But we were coming back on Old Arcata, and I was noticing the trees and the funny trim jobs around the power lines. And it triggered for my, who was responsible? It would seem to me that if you're having to pay county, having to pay the tree trimming guys to come out there and do these weird mutations so that the tree isn't through the wires or vice versa, why not lop the thing off?
That is actually a PG&E and a telephone company issue.
Even though it's next to a county road, you guys don't have...
No, when we try to clear branches, we try to go up to 14 feet minimum, up to 18 feet for legal height on the road. But we don't have the resources to have a landscaping tree maintenance program. We have the resources to try to keep vegetation clear once a year. When you see the power line clearing, that's actually under the control of the power company. PG&E has a huge amount of funds that they spend keeping power lines cleared because the fire issue. There was a big fire a few years ago, and it turned out to be trees and power lines.
Tree on line, kind of.
It's a serious liability for the power company. So they have a big, robust program to keep trees trimmed. And as a property owner, I don't know if you've ever gotten a notice, but if you don't let them trim the trees and come on your property and trim the trees, they send you a nice little letter that, you know, basically dumps the liability of anything happening on you and lets you know, hey, we'll come do it for no cost, extra cost to you, but if you don't let us do it, you're going to be liable if any fire starts.
No, it's starting to get kind of halfway close, but it's not. We're in Eureka, so I don't know if it would come from the city or if it would come from...
It would come from the power company.
Okay. Huh, that's interesting. So when you have... They won't hedge trim these things. It seems like they keep going back to the same neighborhoods over and over and over and over instead of taking care of the problem and saying, look, you planted a wrong tree in the wrong place. Here's $50, go buy a rhododendron, but we're going to knock this thing down.
Yeah, and you're completely out of my expertise at this point on why they do what they do.
Okay, well, how about right-of-ways then for county roads? How's that?
Well, in our right-of-way...
Back in your arena?
Back in my arena.
Okay.
We will take out hazard trees, but generally, hazard tree is something that's rotted. We know it's going to come down. Generally, we don't take out a lot of trees unless they're a visibility issue or they're a hazard. We'll try to trim them instead.
Quick, we got 1 minute, so I know you can't belabor it too much. Update on the airplanes. Anything to share?
Well, it's an investment cycle, as you brought up earlier during the break. There's new hours of flight restrictions for pilots and old equipment, and it's affecting service to all regional airports. You know, we recently have our notice that our Sacramento service is going to be cut. Redding's losing service. Chico's losing service. Yuma, Arizona's losing service. Until new regional airplanes are built and airlines invest in those and get more pilots, it's a downturn right now. We're still actively pursuing new opportunities on a regular basis, but it's a tough market right now.
You almost let slip something there, I know, but we've run out of time, so I'll have to figure it out after the show's done. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Tom Madsen. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone else. See you tomorrow.